Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Kyle here. And with this one, I want to discuss issues about youth development, but it stems from a point that a commentator from Fox Sports brought up. And it was the thought that he had was that the U.S. men's national team should be more than happy, or should be beyond the point of just being happy to be there at the world stage, is now talking about competition. Now, I started doing some research upon this, and the facts that I found were that in the last 50 years, any country that won the World Cup at a high level, so again, you got to think high level, right? So you're talking about Brazil, Spain, France, Germany, Argentina. They had some common factors that brought us to this point in terms of being able to win effectively a World Cup. Now, does everybody have their issues? Yes, every country has their problems and whatnot. I mean, that's not even a question. And of course, nobody is perfect, including the United States. Or, you know, Brazil's won 5 World Cups, but they haven't won one in 21 years. So nobody's perfect. And there's just the way that I'm looking at this is ways that we can improve and help develop a better system. So what you're going to find in a second is the exact stuff that I was talking about a minute ago. So all the countries that have won the World Cup in the last 50 years, so let's just call it modern football history, right? They had these 4 things in common. There's actually like some bonus ones, but I'll start with the 4 that are in common. And they have a unified system, which I'll expand on shortly. They have promotion and relegation. And like I said, I'll expand on this. They are an exporter of talent. And they have a 1-player registration system. They do not have GOT Soccer or GOT Sport points for youth teams. No multiple leagues. So there's no multiple divisions and leagues and things like that. And not trying to win at all cost. So by winning at all cost, before I tell you that, let's take a step back and let's look at all 4. All right, so a unified system. That means it's all under one umbrella. So example, if you look at the English Football Federation, they have the FA, the English FA, so English Football Association. I said federation, but it's association. And they're going to have the Premier League. They're going to have Championship, League One, League Two, and then non-league. And then it's all unified under one umbrella. It's all together. Promotion, which leads to the second point, promotion and relegation, which means teams can move up from the division and they can move down from the division. So it's, and this is pretty consistent with all the big countries that have won. The next one is, like I said, an exporter of talent. You might be wondering exactly what I mean by that. That means they develop high-level players. Like, and I don't just mean high-level, I mean world-class players. So again, let's look at England. They have, example, Saka. They have Phil Foden. They have a Marcus Rashford. So they, just quick examples, Declan Rice. They have top players coming through the English system. And then the final one, and I think this is also very important, 1-player registration system. So this means that they're all funneled under one umbrella again. It's unified. And I'll add value to this point. Like if you look at U.S. soccer, currently there are 8 governing bodies in U.S. soccer that can give a player card. Now, that's insane, and it's all about money and insurance. They get paid for insurance, they get to have the information, and they run that. So those are the 4 main things, and then you have the 3 on the flip side. Now, there's bonus ones, but if you sit there and think about this from an objective standpoint, I want you to answer this question. If we can't get youth development right in the United States, how can we expect to put out a team at the senior national level, so the senior national team, and win a World Cup? And I'm not trying to knock anybody in particular. That's not the focus of this. Or be more than happy to be here. Our foundation, our base of the country is a complete sham. It's in a shambolic state. It's out of this world all over the place. And there's no one that is able to organize it. And then like I'm saying, how can we expect the country on a senior level to perform at a World Cup when we can't get youth development right? So if you, please go check my math, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I missed something, that one of the countries that have won a World Cup in the last 50 years in modern football does not have those four things. Now, I'll give you a couple more bonuses in a second. But that's just stuff to like think about, because it's kind of mind-blowing if you think about it. And I'll ask the question one more time. How can we expect our senior national team to, you know, get consistently to a semifinal of a World Cup or win the World Cup when our base, the foundation of the program, is not concrete, it's not set correctly, it has multiple flaws? And that would be our youth development system. Brazil's won 5 World Cups. Their youth development system is still to this day unbelievable. They might not have won a World Cup. I think that's because of other reasons. But they're still producing top-level talent. Like, there's a 16-year-old named Endrick who just got signed a couple months ago to go to Real Madrid for $20 million at 16. Like, that's talent. That's an exporter of talent. And the way that we have to look at this in this country, from my perspective, is we are not an exporter of talent. In fact, we're trying to keep the talent here. And I think that's not the right move if we're going to get more kids out of here. Like, we're still, and by kids, I mean more professional players, we're still not respected on the world stage to be a top football nation. Like, we're not. The only way that we can be is if we get more talent out of the country to Europe or South America. Even if they go to South America and kill it, they're going to get back to Europe. There's not many other ways around that. And if we're not respected around the world still for producing players, because we're not, and we still haven't produced one world-class player, on paper, our best player is Christian Pulisic, who I think is a good player, but he's not world-class. Like, to summarize that point for you, you can read a book by Sir Alex Ferguson called Leading. And in that book, he brings up that he only had, in 26 years of managing Manchester United, he only had 4 world-class players, which was Ryan Giggs, Paul Scholes, Cristiano Ronaldo, and Eric Cantona. That's it. And he had a bunch of players that I would consider world-class, like Wayne Rooney, like Rio Ferdinand, Nemanja Vidic, Edwin van der Sar, examples. But he did not consider them world class. And he's arguably the greatest manager of all time. So if he's saying he only had 4 world class players out of his 26 years winning as much as he did, then don't you think that we should kind of hold the expectation or the bar to that level against arguably the greatest manager in the world? So those are just things to kind of reference about. And we need to get more players overseas to be successful. But MLS doesn't want that to happen because they're going to lose money. They're going to see their talent leave and they're going to get picked up in Europe for free. That's why they've developed the compensation for formation model here for them, for MLS academies. And it's going to be a bigger issue in the end until it's across the board that way. But there's other pieces at play that, but I don't want to hit that too much. But what I do want to go into is the other pieces that countries have and don't have. These are the bonuses. So bonus would be the next one, first one. Players playing up. So I gave you the example of Brazil. 16-year-old Endrick signing for Real Madrid. He's a full-time pro for Palmeiras. And he doesn't necessarily play every game, but he's in the squad. He gets minutes. He might get some starts. 16 years old. Right? If the player has the level, they have to go play up. Unfortunately, we have this thing where we want to pigeonhole kids to play their position because it's all about winning at the youth level. Well, it shouldn't be. It should be about getting as many kids to the top level. But until U.S. Soccer comes out and says, hey, we're putting our foot down. Yeah, we're going to lose a little bit of money with this. And we're okay with that because we want to do the right thing for the country. Then it won't matter. And the next one is compensation for formation, which I briefly touched on, being that the only organizations right now that can fully get compensation for formation because of a backdoor deal between U.S. Soccer, MLS, and FIFA is MLS Academies or MLS in general. They're the ones that can receive compensation for formation, which, long story short, means they develop a player, they get money for developing that player. That's like the basic version of it. And when I say develop the player, I mean a player that goes on to become a professional and he gets signed by a team in another country. So, example, American player in an MLS academy getting signed by Real Madrid, there's a training compensation fee. Now, the next one is a pro pathway. This is something that I've talked about multiple times. In my opinion, we don't have a feasible pro pathway. Yes, we have MLS academies. There's one of them. Now, if you look at, again, go pick an international country. Pick one. Anyone you want. France, England, Spain, Germany, Brazil. Pick a country. Okay, France. Okay, cool. Let's go to France. You go to France, they have multiple professional leagues. They have two, three technically. I think the third one's actually semi-pro as well. So it's like pro, semi-pro. You have professional clubs and semi-professional clubs. And or go to England. They got four tiers of pro. Premier League, Championship, League One, League Two. Four tiers of professional. So, again, is it perfect? No, it's not perfect. But there are multiple ways for players to become a professional. And what's interesting is the smaller organizations, the smaller clubs, you know, the Division Threes, the Division Fours, maybe the Twos, they rely on their youth development system to produce players for their first team. We don't have that here. Our clubs don't rely on their academies to produce players. Like, I'll use my hometown. I live in, well, it's not my hometown. I guess it's my adopted town, is Orlando City. They don't need to have an academy. Like, if you look at their first team, and I'm not trying to knock Orlando City, I'm just explaining, is that they don't have to have an academy player or product come through. They have the system, and they're trying to develop players for the first team, but they don't have to. Because if you look at their starting 11, it's all internationals, or it's mostly internationals. And again, that's not, I'm not knocking them at all. I think it's okay. But I'm just trying to explain that if you look at other professional clubs in Europe, let's look at Jude Bellingham's club. He was formed in Birmingham City. Birmingham City sold him after he became a first-team player at 16 years old. He went to Borussia Dortmund. Got signed to Borussia Dortmund. He was there for, I believe, 2 years. Got signed by Real Madrid. Birmingham City, just because they formed him, received a check for about £6 million. Might have been euros, but I think you get the point. 6 million euros or pounds. And that's all because they formed him. That's going back to the academy, I'm sure. So it's just things like that, man, that add up. And if we're going to commit to developing players, then we need to commit to developing. Now, the other 2 points real quick. They had a cultural buy-in. That means kids are bought into football at a young age. They're born into it. They love football. Maybe their first gift is a football. They start watching lots of football because it's in the family. They can play all the time. Cultural buy-in. And then the last one would be environments for formation, which means it's a development process. It's about developing players to get to the professional level. Is every system perfect? They're not. But we don't have an environment, in my opinion. I think it's just starting with MLS academies. Let's see how it progresses over the next 10 to 15 years. But a environment for formation. And the challenge is, it can't just be MLS academies, though. It has to be everybody bought into developing players. And that's not what's happening at all in the grassroots. I live in grassroots day to day. Development is nowhere near the priority because it's just about the dollar bills, which I understand it's a business. I mean, don't get me wrong. Professional clubs overseas in England, France, Germany, Spain, they're a business too. They are a business. There's no question about it. But they don't charge families hundreds of thousands of dollars over the course of 10 to 15 years to play. And I've said this before, that model is not going away in my lifetime until U.S. Soccer comes out and cut their backdoor deal with MLS and FIFA to allow the system to be the way that it is. And I don't think that's going to happen in my lifetime, to be honest. So that means pay-to-play is not going away. Which, you can still be successful in pay-to-play, maybe not to the same level as a Germany, a Spain, a Brazil. But I think it's possible if it's not just about collecting checks and there has to be a process about development. On the flip side, they had these four things, or they did not, I should say, they did not have these four things as bonuses. Sorry, it's five, not four. Monopolies on league format. You play in a league, there's promotion and relegation, whether it's pro or youth, and you work your way up or down. Here, if you get into a league like an MLS Next or an ECNL, you're in that league. You know how hard it is to get into that league if you're not in the system? So if you're not already in ECNL or MLS Next, like there's two, I live in Orlando, there's two organizations near me that applied for ECNL, and ECNL came back and said, no, we're not going to allow you, we don't want to dilute the talent. And I'm like, that's a complete and utter lie, because the talent here is already extremely diluted. You have, just alone here, if I'm doing my math correctly, and I might be off, but you have five MLS Next programs, including Orlando City Academy, which is the free one. Then you have at least two ECNL programs. That's seven programs, talking about top level. Then you have things like EA, Sunshine, whatever they're all called. Like, there's hundreds of stuff that are other leagues that talk about exposure and whatnot that you have to get into. There's a little bit more open market, but you still have to have some things to get into it. Next one is parent involvement. Parent involvement in top level countries is extremely minimal, but they have the player's best interest at heart. They do not have players traveling at the youth level, typically 3 hours for one game one way. So that would be a 6 hour round trip plus the game. We have that here all the time, and greater distances, by the way. An occasional trip is one thing, but to go make kids travel consistently every other weekend, 3 hours one way, is absolutely asinine. They don't have coaches if they're trying to develop top talent. They don't have coaches going and joysticking, because they do all their main coaching before the game, so pregame, or in the training session. And they let the kids figure it out. The last one is, you're not going to hear people very often, especially from the coaching side, and this happens a lot in this country, the three words, or phrases rather, that are what I call destroying the chance of playing football and not American soccer. And this summarizes American soccer for me, and it's these three phrases. Kick it, boot it, and send it. The three most vile, despicable words in the country, in my opinion, from an American soccer perspective, because that's what that is. That's American soccer. That's not football. That's kick it, boot it, and send it. And those words are what, or phrases, more than a word, are what are destroying and continuing to destroy the youth development system in this country. And I don't think it's going to go away. Because, you know, if you look from a parent perspective, you're paying. You go, oh, because I'm paying to see my child win. I am not paying to see my child lose, which I get it. It's frustrating, but that doesn't mean we're going to develop talent. And parents, of course, want to see their kids win. So what do leagues here do? Or not leagues, sorry, teams here do? They put their team in the lowest bracket possible so parents don't get pissed off. And they take it in that way, and they move it forward in that sense. And they don't care otherwise. It's just to do that and move on with their day. But I hope that makes sense, man. I hope that answers the question, helps summarize some points, because it's very difficult. It's not simple, and it causes greater concern than benefiting anybody. And it's a frustration. But if we're going to develop better players, then we have to try and figure out those key pieces that I found. And if you can find counterexamples to what I was describing, then I would love to hear it and see it. Because in the last 50 years of modern football, I have not found one country that has won a World Cup without at least those four key points. You might be able to argue one or two points out of the bonus ones, but the four key ones, I have not found it yet. And if you found this valuable or interesting, please share this with somebody. That's my only ask. Now, I'm putting all this stuff together to help educate you guys, to help educate families, friends, your players. And I would greatly appreciate you sharing this. Take the 10 to 15 seconds to share it with somebody and help me continue to build the platform to help educate more and more. See you in the next episode. Hey, guys, I absolutely love that you're listening to the podcast. And I hope that you get tremendous value from this. And as you know, I don't sell anything off the podcast. I don't have any sponsorship or anything. This is just content for you guys to take and hopefully improve yourself or your player in their development process. And the only thing that I can ever ask you through this podcast is if you could share this with somebody, and that way somebody that's in your shoes, you could also help them make better decisions going through the youth soccer landscape. And that's the only thing that I ask. It'll take you 5 seconds to share it on some different platform, social media, WhatsApp, whatever it is. And that would mean the absolute world to me as I try and help more people in your shoes make better decisions. So thanks so much, guys, and I'll see you in the episode.